Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker and happy to be with you. So there's so much that goes on in the world today. It's hard to keep up. Lee Rogers, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
So I don't know where to start. The naked man jumping into a retention pond. I'm going to skip that one for now. I got another North Carolina story I wanted to ask you about. What's up with this Republican that always voted Democrat and was a Democrat running for North Carolina's 22nd state district, Senate district? So this is in Caswell, in Person counties, in Durham County. Are you familiar with this candidate?
No, I'm not.
Lakeisha Alston is a lone Republican candidate running for North Carolina's 22nd District State Senate, facing two Democratic challengers for the position. And she posted a photo online, her candidate photo, wearing a hijab, so full face covering. But when they looked into her, she just all of a sudden declared herself to be a Republican when she's been a lifelong Democrat and always voted Democrat. So she flipped over to the Republican side, realizing that it would be uncontested, and then put on the hijab and took a photo and said, "Hey, I'm your Republican candidate for this district." This is up in, I guess, more northern area of North Carolina. This has been taking over the internet. I didn't know if this was something that is going to be looked at as serious, or is it just a political ploy in order to get attention, or is it they saw an opportunity, they're opportunistic? But it's kind of a strange way to try to go about your political career.
Yeah, that's a classic example of what people refer to as rhinos, Republican in name only. So.
Oh, boy, that would be to the extreme,
yes.
Rhino. But that was going on, and I think people are going to start seeing the photos pop up online. It's a weird thing to put on the face veil for a candidate photo after you jump over to an uncontested side. I'm sure there's a lot of different races uncontested where you can probably easily get your name on a ballot. Lee Rogers, would you ever run for any type of higher office?
I'm really not interested, no.
You're smarter than that.
Well, no, I'm not sure I'm any smarter than that. I don't think I'm not sure I'm cut out for that. It's one thing to talk about politics. It's another to be engaged in it and really get your hands dirty. So,
yep. Another story in North Carolina, and I'm sorry, I've been spending a lot of stories in North Carolina, but a man arrested after jumping into a retention pond outside of a hotel on Sunday night. This is Wilmington police were called to that hotel, 9 p.m., naked man causing damage to hotel property and approaching people in the lobby. 33-year-old Elliot Watkins was found nearby in a wooded area. This is according to WYFF. And according to officers, fled and jumped into a retention pond. As he tried to get out of the pond, officers detained him. How would you like to deal with that as an officer?
Not at all. I'm sorry. They don't get paid nearly enough to have to deal with that. That's just...
Yeah. Wet naked man trying to run from you. Don't want that.
Well, at least you could tell that he was not armed with any weapons, I would assume. So.
Well, he was armed with nudity, which is enough. Might as well be a weapon because you don't want to be around that.
No.
I see his mugshot posted. He's got the face tattoo. Does that surprise you?
Oh, well, great. So, anyway.
Think about all the things that people have to deal with. Luckily, we don't have to deal with things like that in radio. And if you do have to deal with things like that in radio, it's a stunt for a wacky FM morning DJ at a rock station. Yeah. And they get the intern to do that, or they hire someone to cause a ruckus. You ever have to work in one of those FM stations that did crazy stuff in the morning to get attention?
I never had to do those things. That's... Although one time I did wear the mascot suit, it didn't last long.
Oh, it must have smelled so bad.
Yes.
All of them smell bad.
Yes, absolutely.
There's no such thing as a mascot suit that smells good.
No, unless it's the first time it's ever been used. So that would be the extent of it. Particularly if you had to do anything summers in South Carolina. So.
Oh, that'd be so gross. Now, you slip into these things. You're right. There's no climate control in these things. So you're just basically wearing a... worse than a winter jacket because you have your whole face being covered by this stuff.
Yeah, it's like a body sauna.
You're sweating. Oh, at least at Disney, they swap the mascots out every like 45 minutes and they have fans and they're climate controlled and they at least take care of the people that are working, the college interns there for the summer, whoever might be in
those
mascots.
Well, for what they charge for tickets down there these days, they ought to.
Yeah, no kidding. You wait an hour and a half to get a picture with Goofy like we did the last time we went to Disney. The kid loved it. Parents, not so much standing out in the sun, but you know, you're like, okay, at least I'm not the guy in the suit, but the suit's probably more comfortable than the parents standing out in the sun waiting for the pictures. So you're right with the mascots. I worked for a station in Ohio, and one of the stations was Froggy, so they had a frog mascot. Yeah. And when it came time to go out to public events, they always fought, like, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not doing it. And they would pay like $25 for the person to go out there in that uniform, and it was miserable.
Yeah.
The part that I would dislike the most, I don't want people coming up and touching me in the suit. I don't want that either.
Yeah.
The other side effect to it. Are you a college basketball fan?
Yes. Yeah.
You see the controversy that's going on, and a lot of people are upset because you have a 21-year-old that was drafted in the NBA and didn't, you know, got traded around, never played G League, played overseas a little bit, came back, and the NCAA said, well, he's actually still has eligibility for college,
so we're
going to allow him to play in college. Okay. Have you heard that controversy?
I haven't heard about that one. That's pretty interesting, considering the amount of money that is thrown around in college sports these days. I don't know why. Yeah. The line between, you know, a collegiate athlete and a professional athlete has definitely been blurred, to say the least.
Yep. So this is the Hill talked about this, but a few sources. Concerns from coaches in men's college basketball reached a boiling point last week when a 21-year-old James Nagy, a former NBA draft pick, committed to Baylor and was awarded 4 years of eligibility by the NCAA. So there's a lot of coaches that are coming out and they're like, this is ridiculous. They're saying, like, this is a major screw up by the NCAA to allow this. How could you set this precedent? He was the 31st pick in the 2023 NBA draft. 31st pick. So we're talking a first round draft pick. And went through the circuit, never played in the NBA. And like Michigan State coach Tom Izzo, who's a legend up here, by the way, slammed the leadership of and said, basically, if this is what we're going to do, shame on the NCAA, shame on the coaches too, but shame on the NCAA, because coaches are going to do what they got to do, I guess.
Yeah.
This is the state we're in. College sports is, it's kind of like take hit after hit after hit. I think as soon as they allowed this NIL and the sports betting and all this, it's been all downhill since then.
Yeah, the whole thing about the portal and all that's completely changed it. It's not the same sport anymore.
No, it's not. And especially, I understand it benefits the players in a way where it's treated like a professional sport, but now this is a professional sport. It's no longer amateur. Yeah. As soon as you're allowing these sort of things into the realm, I don't know how you can consider this amateur. You might as well consider this their first years of professional ball.
No one paid me any attention, and for good reason, but I always felt like with this NIL thing, it's fine to go ahead. If you have a particular individual that is making money for the team, the collegiate team, because of the sales of jerseys or whatever, because of their individual performance, I've got no problem with them being compensated. But to me, it would be like you should put that in a trust. And when they have graduated or have left the university or left collegiate sports, then they could access that. That way they would still be considered a collegiate non-professional player. But obviously, that concept never went anywhere. Since I'm not an elected official, it didn't go anywhere.
No. There's a lot of issues with all of it, and I just think that, in general, college football, college basketball, all these different sports that have just gone completely overboard, multi-million-dollar agreements with players that, I mean, all things considered, it's an argument that I lost. So many people are in agreement that this sort of thing should happen. They should be paying these players, but it's completely ruined it. I mean, all of this is just ruined.
Getting back to the guy that you're talking about, I still don't understand how you can be drafted by the NBA. Because if you've been drafted, are you then being paid? Because I thought that used to be the standard there. I mean, obviously, I must have some misconception here, but if you've been drafted by the NBA, it would assume and you, I guess, signed a contract, you know, then you have become professional. How can you go back and then have 4 years of collegiate eligibility? I don't know. Don't get it.
NCAA, a lot of people don't get it. And they, one thing after another, this is not a good look. And really, it to me just says there's no integrity in the whole system. That's what
it says to me. Well, it's just the whole thing about your allegiance to a college team. I mean, that's being sold off. I mean, I think from both the fans and the players' standpoint, it's just not there anymore.
All right. Well, thank you, Lee Rogers. Looking forward to spending the rest of the morning with you. Coming up after the break, I want to give you an update in what's going on with the fraud that's in Minneapolis and Minnesota, but also some other journalists are saying, you know what, I wonder if it's in our communities too. There's one in Columbus, Ohio that said, you know what, we're finding the same thing here, which makes you wonder, where else could it be? Also this hour, Tim Nash is the director at the Northwood University Center for the Advancement of Free Enterprise at Northwood University, as I mentioned. We're going to talk to him about a few things. Student loans on default. Uncle Sam is ready to collect. We have a debt problem in the United States. I want to talk to him about debt. Coming up, I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Looking at some of the text messages coming in, one said, you could be drafted but never sign a contract. Okay. I guess that answers that question. Same fraud in Ohio, Somalians or Haitians. Okay, it's Somalians in this case. I'll play a clip for a moment. One person said, 20 years ago, Disney characters sued because the bodysuits contained pubic lice. Don't let them near you. That is so gross. I'm going to have to look that one up, but it sounds so bad. Please don't ruin Disney for me. Please. I've taken my family to Disney 3 times. And it's so expensive, and I spend so much effort in order to be a jolly dad during all of this stressful time. And the kids, I'll tell you what, I absolutely love going to it because everything is just so taken care of. It feels like you don't have to worry about anything. They'll go above and beyond to make sure you have a good experience. So if something does go bad, they'll help you, which I like. And it's you pay for that price. But man, please don't ruin it, because I know we want to go again in the future sometime. I just don't want to have that visual in the back of my head. One person messaged in and said, Ryan, stupid naked people calls are not all that rare for police. Handled dozens in my 38 years as a city cop. Dozens? Is it normally drug-related? Sometimes, I'm guessing, at least in the current years, it's probably drug-related, right? I had a friend who wanted to be a paramedic, so he was training to be a paramedic, and he said he got tired of all the crackheads that would fight him back. So he was trying to help them, overdosing or whatever it is, and he would try to help these people, and they would fight him for helping him. And he said, forget this, it ain't worth it. So instead, he became a funeral director, because he said, dead people don't fight back. Kind of a one way to look at it. All right, going just real quick, I wanted to bring this up, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more over the course of the show. DHS has launched door-to-door search for illegal immigrants at some of these fraud sites happening in Minneapolis and Minnesota across the state. Investigators are looking into as much as $9 billion that may have been stolen in social service scam that they say orchestrated by Somali immigrants. Here's one interesting take to all of this. And Ari Fleischer was Fox News. He says, essentially, there's no way that the people in Minneapolis, the leaders, had no idea this was going on. What we're finding is more and more pieces of evidence that these things were brought up to them very early on. And they continue to not only allow it happen, but they continue to help facilitate for this to happen. They even went a step further. Here's what Ari Fleischer said. Let me play this for you real quick. Okay.
Question for Democrats in Minnesota is, what's more important, winning the votes of a key Somali constituency or protecting $9 billion that belongs to all taxpayers? And it appears that for Governor Walz, for the Attorney General, Keith Ellison, for the Lieutenant Governor, their choice is to stand with the Somali community. Now, not everybody in the Somali community committed a crime. Not everybody is guilty of fraud. But you would think that their heart, their energy, the aggressiveness with which they react to this would be on the side of the taxpayers to fight fraud. And by the way, it's not going to be just in Minnesota where we find this. These types of scandals exist everywhere where the government gives out free money. Free money, subsidized Obamacare. You take a look at everywhere where the federal government puts its hand into the cookie jar to give money from one group to another, and that cookie jar is full of fraud. It's inevitable. And so it's not just Minnesota's Somali community. You're going to find this throughout America on almost every welfare program you can think of. It's just particularly bad in Minnesota, and Minnesota politicians are particularly dependent on the Somali community to get elected.
And you know what's interesting about this? If you remember back during the vice presidential debates that happened between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz bragged about how great their system is when it comes to this child care in their state, all the investments that they're making into child care. So he's out there saying, we spent this big investment and all these people are benefiting. But ultimately, when you go back and look at it, who benefited from this? It was the people that were defrauding the government are the ones of the beneficiaries, not the hardworking families that this money was designed for, which makes you wonder if people were raising these questions of fraud to begin with. What if the money was designed for this? What if Minnesota, based on the leadership, was designed to be some sort of safe haven for Somali immigrants? And they said, we're going to harbor this by allowing to fund them and to attract them into the state. Is it possible that there was a strategy behind this, knowing that the fraud has always been there? They knew about it and did nothing to stop it. So here's Tim Walz bragging, by the way, about the child care subsidies. This is, if I were to do the Wayne's World thing, we're going to go back in time to the vice presidential debates.
We in Minnesota passed a paid family medical leave. You have a child, you. And I had to go back to work 5 days after my kids were born. This allows you to stay home a certain amount of time. What we know is that gets the child off to a better start. The family works better. We stay in their employers. We get more consistency in that. So Kamala Harris has made it a priority. We implemented it in Minnesota and we see growth. That's how you become a pro-business state. And so a paid family medical leave program, and I will tell you, go to the families or go to the businesses and ask them. As far as child...
Well, by the way, yes, they did go to the businesses and they did ask them. And what they found was the businesses had no children inside, but they were collecting millions of dollars.
Go to the businesses and ask them. As far as child care on this...
Oh, and if you were to go to the businesses now, you would just get swore at asking them about the fraud.
Go to the businesses and ask them. As far as child care on this, you have to take it at both the supply and the demand side. You can't expect the most important people in our lives to take either our children or our parents to get paid the least amount of money. And we have to make it easier for folks to be able to get into that business and then to make sure that folks are able to pay for that. We were able to do it in Minnesota, and I'm still telling you this.
All right, I'm just going to stop it there because it's just so, he knew exactly what he was saying here, trying to brag. We got all this money, but knowing that the money was going to people that were frauding the government, you knew that when you said that because there is evidence, the paper trail is there, but he's out there bragging about it still. It goes to show you. Sometimes people are more sympathetic to these woke causes, which is that we need to go above and beyond to try to make people feel comfortable if they enter this country illegally or whatnot. But now we have to say we have to allow fraud because it is the social justice thing to do, because otherwise it makes us look bad if we're not a welcoming state. It's ridiculous. And that $9 billion, I can tell you, could be reprioritized to places that actually need it. And I think those people that vote in Minnesota will realize that next time. Hopefully they go to the ballot and try to get this type of nonsense flushed out. Who knows if they do it or not? I mean, they voted some pretty stupid people in there to begin with and will continue to vote stupid people to begin with. All right, when we come back, I want to welcome a friend of mine, someone I know up here in Michigan from Northwood University. We're going to talk about the debt issue in the United States and how bad it's getting. Tim Nash joins us after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in on WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey, welcome back. Happy to be with you this morning. Joining us now is the director of the Northwood University Center for the Advancement of Free Enterprise and Entrepreneurship. That's in Midland, Michigan. Dr. Tim Nash, good morning to you, sir.
How are you, sir?
Good. So I'm going to use this example. One time my kids pulled this on me. My son was young. And when I was pulling into the garage, I heard my son unbuckle his seatbelt. And I said, wait till the car's parked before you undo your seatbelt. I said, where'd you learn that? And he said, I learned it from you, Dad. I'm like, oh, boy, I guess I do that, too. I'm going to apply that to debt. So here in the United States, we max out our credit cards. We take out student loans and don't pay them back. We get behind on payments. We have a debt problem. I feel like we could look at Uncle Sam and say, we've learned it from you.
Well, I'll tell you, Ryan, you're absolutely right. By the way, I'm going to use that one liner on, I learned it from you, Dad.
I learned it from you.
You know, as you look at our debt, our U.S. national debt is now at $38.5 plus trillion. Our interest payment on the national debt is over $2 trillion right now. And if you go back to 25 years earlier, our total national debt was under $6 trillion. So we've done most of this in the last 25 years. And you go back to Ronald Reagan, when he took office, the national debt was actually still below $1 trillion. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long, irresponsible drive. But in the history of our country, our national debt's, you know, a minuscule part of our country's debt-to-GDP ratio until World War II. But we got it from 146% of GDP down to about less than 40% of GDP. So it's really irresponsibility in the last, roughly 20% of the existence of our country.
Yeah, we're constantly borrowing against ourselves. And I think part of the strategy Donald Trump has is we're going to grow the economy. So when you look at it as a proportion, if we can grow it faster, then that means the percentage will be lower. And there's a lot of magic in things that need to line up in order to make that happen. But nonetheless, if we look at it on a personal standpoint, we're also bad at managing our money. And the government, Department of Education, came out and said, well, if you're in default and you haven't paid your student loan for the past 3 months, we're going to start sending letters out in January, and then we're going to start garnishment after that. And that seems to be just the first step of many. It seems so many people are behind as the debt problem continues to grow. Does garnishment on student loans and the issues we have with student loans, is that going to make an impact on our economy? Or for the most part, is that just like a small drop in the bucket when it comes to the problems of debt?
Well, here's what I'd say about two things you just said. Number one, as silly as some people may think it sounds, our national debt, as a percent of GDP at the end of World War II, depending on how whose figures you look at, was somewhere between 140 and 144% of GDP. By the time Reagan became president, it was below 40% of GDP. So we did dramatically reduce the national debt, but we did it by growing the economy, not trying to pay the debt off, which would have slowed the economy or slowed economic activity. The question is, do we have the right plan in place for that to grow? The second point, the problem with student loan debt is that not only is it growing, but as you noted, it's growing with a higher default rate. Number one, I don't agree with what President Biden did in forgiving student loans during the COVID recession, and he kept it away from a Supreme Court decision with certain ways he did it, which bottom line allowed students to think he was actually going to forgive that debt. So if you remember, the debt payments began again in, I believe it was 2023, So today you're getting a lot of students that just aren't prepared to make those payments. Now, your question is garnishing wages really going to help? And that's a great question. I have to tell you that on the one hand, as a sound money financier, I don't like what the federal government's doing, and I don't like that people who have taken out money are paying that money back. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of individuals, you'd be shocked. I worked out this scenario for you. If you take a look at somebody that had an average, graduated in 2024 with the average salary, so some are way above this, some are way below it, but they made $66,000. If they pay what would be the normal monies that young people are paying to start their careers, taxes, meaning local, state, federal income taxes, Social Security taxes, benefits to their 401k, that would be about 35% or $23,600 that you've got to pay. Then on top of that, you've got another, if you take the average rent in America last year at the time the kids graduated, it was $1,450. So that's $17,400. Then if you say, all right, we're going to subtract that, then the student loan, if you subtract the student loan monthly payment, and all of a sudden you're looking at, after the student loan, your taxes, and your monthly rent, you've got under $30,000, closer to $25,000 to begin your life, to live your life. And that's not easy in and of itself. And right. And then if you add a car, let's say you buy a good average used car, not a new one, then you've got another $4,500, and you're right around $20,000 with just those four items pushing you on the budget. And let's say you went off that, and then you developed some other things that you were doing, or debt in other areas. Maybe you, because you thought you weren't going to be paying your student loan debt, that President Biden was going to hold the day, and he didn't. You may have bought a brand new car, and that payment could be, you know, today it's crazy that some of those payments are $800 to $900 a month.
Sure.
So now you've got the student loan coming in, and yeah, so it creates a real dilemma. On the one hand, if you start forgiving debt on those that are paying their student loans off, do you begin to say we're going to hold the day and not hold you to your car payment or your house payment? If you you went to truck driving school and you're a long haul trucker, it's a debate that would cause a lot of problems in society, I think.
Yeah, and you know, just for the sake of time, I wanted to ask you about 2026. I know there's going to be some tax law changes with the big beautiful bill kicking in. I know people are going to start filing their returns for 2025. Do you think that's going to make a difference? Do you think that's going to help people ultimately get a little extra room for those that are stretched thin?
I believe that a lot of people will receive a tax break. For the most part, if you look at the taxes, people above $200,000 get nothing. Most of the tax breaks go to people below $200,000. And that's certainly includes a lot of what we would describe as the upper, you know, it's basically the upper 95% of income earners get some kind of a break. And so then if you take that variable and you look at the deregulation in the big, beautiful bill, I think the U.S. economy is going to grow. And you heard it here first. I think it's going to grow somewhere between 3.8 and 5%.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a very good year. And I do think it will drive a much more robust economy, similar to what happened in the late 40s and throughout the 50s and into the 60s and 70s in the post-World War economy.
All right. So economy grows. Don't hold your breath for lower mortgage rates then. So anyone that has been waiting to refinance, doesn't look like it's going to be a promising option, it sounds like.
Well, again, it's a great question you ask. But if Trump gets his pick at the Federal Reserve, they're also going to push for lower inflation or lower interest rates. Could the result be lower interest rates and higher inflation? You could have that for a while. So you might see mortgage interest rates at least come down for a 2 or 3 year period before they spike back up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know you do a lot of research here. You send me articles, which I do appreciate. And you are just a little bit north of where I'm at in Midland, Michigan. You're with Northwood University and director of the Center for the Advancement of Free Enterprise and Entrepreneurship. Dr. Tim Nash, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate the time.
Ryan, it's always a pleasure, sir. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. If you want to text the show, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989 on WORD. It's a busy end of year, isn't it? Always is busy. Some people messaging in right now. Let's take a look at this. Says our society is morally bankrupt. People feel no shame for telling lies. So I guess you can look at it on the actual money and the moral side of it, too. We got issues all around, sure. One person said, listening to your debt expert, I say boo-hoo. Husband and I lived on annual income below $50,000 for years with no debt incurred. Learn to manage your money and live within your means. That is the biggest advice you have to give young people. Learn to live within your means. Don't overstretch it. And the problem you run into, and this is where I become highly sympathetic, is if you get medical debt, things that you cannot anticipate. And unfortunately, you could have a full-time job and you can have full health benefits, and then something happens, something catastrophic. You go to the doctor, you have to get a surgery, something like that happens, or maybe one of your kids. And you get the bill and you're like, wait a minute, I pay my premiums. I have health coverage. I'm insured through my work, whatever, private insurance. And they'll say, your insurance only covers this amount of it. So you owe us 10 grand. And you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I've been responsible my whole life. I've always paid my bills on time. I got my credit card payments. I got a good credit score. I don't max myself out when it comes to a mortgage. 10 grand is a lot. And I understand that a lot of times that these companies will work with you on a payment plan. But still, what I'm saying is things like that do come up in life. So you, I do have some room for sympathy. I'll put it that way. But I've always, I mean, I work in radio. And I don't know if you know this, but generally speaking, there's a lot of radio jobs, and most of them do not pay well. Few and far between are the ones that pay really well. So when you think of radio, you think of, or maybe TV is a little bit better example. If you're a newscaster on TV, you're probably doing pretty well. You got a nice big salary. If you're the guy working the camera, not so much. If you're the person that's writing the stories, not as much. If you're out there in the middle of the road with a camera and you're reporting on something, you're probably doing a little bit better, but not as much. The industry of broadcasting is a tough one right now. And a lot of industries are like that. They're just not keeping up with the cost of living. And you want to do it. It's what you're trained to do, and it's what you love to do. But you understand that the living within your means gets harder and harder and harder every year when everything gets more expensive. So what I'm saying is, I have some room for sympathy there, and I do agree that you can live within your means, but sometimes your means and your buying power shrinks. So what was known as your means changes when something catastrophic happens. One person said it doesn't have to be catastrophic. A $7,000 deductible will help that. Yeah, deductibles too. It's let's say you have a kid, and you know you go to the hospital and back, and it's like $5,000. And you look at what was covered by insurance, you're like, okay, insurance paid $40,000 for the birth of this kid, but your portion of it's five. Even five is a lot. Multiply that with, you know, God forbid you get cancer or something along those lines. You have to really be careful because that's some things you just can't plan. One person said, hey, college grad, don't whine about your student loan debt when you're standing in line to get into Lululemon's, talking to your friends on the latest phone about your upcoming vacation to the Caribbean. Okay, I get that. You got to put priorities in your life. I get that. You know, and here I am, I'm saying I'm in a rough industry. Let me put it this way. I make it work. At least for me personally, I have the full-time job. I have the benefits. I put some money aside for retirement. But I also do this show, The Terror Show. I do shows for St. Louis. I do Coast to Coast AM. I do a lot of side things in order to better mitigate some of the risks of the future. Let me put it that way. A lot of people are responsible. Now, people coming out of college, their standpoint, their viewpoint is, you overcharged us, you ripped us off, there needs to be some sort of break here. Unfortunately, their solution is, let's just not pay our bill. That's the stupidest solution of all of them. I'm Ryan Recker filling in and looking forward to getting some more of your text messages. Go ahead and message us on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. Don't go anywhere.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.